Hey there, friends. You're tuned in to episode 85 of Gamer Heroes, the weekly show where we talk about news, reviews, and anything else happening in games today. My name's Cam Koenig. With me, as always, is my boy, Thomas Egan. Thomas, yep. How you doing?
I'm good. Boy!
Boy, boy!
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing all right. Kind of tired, but, you know, I'm
I
here.
Hear that. I hear
Hanging
that.
Hanging out. Good. Talking about some video games.
Dude, this has been a pretty video gamey week.
Honestly, yeah. A couple announcements real quick. We're on Spotify now, in case you haven't heard. If you're listening to this on Spotify, good job.
Hey.
Keep it up. If not, then listen to it again on Spotify. Just listen to it again anywhere. I don't care. Another one, Planet Comic Con 2019 in Kansas City is this weekend. As of this recording, our panel is a live episode recording about being a positive force in gaming culture. So if you're going to the con, be sure to swing by Friday at 4:30 p.m. We're going to try to get it recorded and put it up as an episode. So if you can't make it, don't worry. We still love you.
Well, you do. Speak for yourself.
Wow. Okay, cool. Well, I still love you.
Well, I'm going to be on that panel. And if I don't get support from every single listener, well, then I might just ask nicely.
Hey, I'm not going to the panel.
Boy, this is uncomfortable.
So, yeah. Video games are cool.
Video games are
very
cool.
Video games are sure pretty cool. Video games sure happened this week.
Dude, okay, I'm not sure what we're naming the episode for sure this week, but we toyed around with the name video games. Like, just video games.
Because it's either going to be that or just all caps, what is happening?
What is happening, dude? Okay, so let's go day-ish by day-ish. So first we had Stadia. So
yeah.
Stadia is Google's announcement that includes a ton of different stuff.
Mm-hmm. They had about an hour kind of almost keynote-ish thing that they gave at GDC,
yeah,
where they basically showed off, hey, we've been doing this for a couple of years now. We've been hiring all these big people. Like, what's up? We're ready to play ball.
It's funny that it's funny to see a keynote, you know, a conference that is directed towards investors and non-traditional gamers versus ones that are for traditional gamers.
And, yeah, absolutely. And their kind of keynote for that, I don't know if you actually watched it.
I watched
it over my lunch break. Mm-hmm. It very much felt entirely developer and like platform focused.
Yeah.
Like it was
like, I felt like I was in a boardroom.
They showed off like one or two games, mm-hmm, and one of them was Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which is what Project Stream tested with. So we were just like, mm-hmm, oh yeah, that's going to be on there. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, and they showed off a little bit of, I think you could play the original Doom, or Doom 2016 rather, mm-hmm, on the show floor, but like Doom Eternal, they're like, hey, it's going to be on this platform. So
it's
enjoy.
Funny. I find it funny that all of these, like either mobile games or continuous games, all have the name of like Infinite, Eternal, mm-hmm, like Forever.
Yeah.
And it's just like, man, what are we going to do after that? You know, Forever is a long time.
Infinite 2.
Right. Return of Forever.
Eternal-er.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man,
what's up?
They need to hire you.
Yeah,
what are they doing?
I'll take it. Hey, just bring me on. I'll name some stuff. So some of the stuff that they talked about at that Stadia presentation, honestly, like if that stuff land, if they like stick the landing on it, and it's completely going to change video games and just how they're kind of consumed and sold and all of that interesting stuff.
Totally. So let's shotgun blast this. Let's go through what it is, and then let's talk about our feelings on it.
So I'm just gonna kind of read these two very, very quick summary paragraphs from a GameSpot.com article. You should totally go give them a click for it. Google has officially announced Stadia. This is its new streaming service that it meant to bring games to people anywhere on any device. So anything that can run Chrome can, according to this, basically run anything. Like, mm-hmm, they demoed it on stage with somebody like hopped on to their tablet and was playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey and then ended the session and then pulled up their phone with a Bluetooth controller and then was playing that from exactly where they left off. And then it went to like another computer and then a Chromebook and like the worst computer they could possibly buy, mm-hmm, and then like Chromecasted to the TV using all of that kind of stuff because it's just all running that same kind of Chrome infrastructure. Mm-hmm. They brought on ex-Sony executive Phil Harrison. He came on stage to talk about the usage. He outlined a scenario where you watch video of a game online and then you just click a link and then you start playing it in your browser within 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
That's wild.
Like, if just imagine, like, you're just, like, think about how crazy that's going to be for, like, game demos.
Right?
Like, because they don't have to separate them out anymore. Just, like, make, like, hey, play the first 10 minutes of this game just for free,
mm-hmm,
in your browser right now. Like, right. That's absolutely insane.
Well, and then keep going, because I could say even more on that.
We then saw Assassin's Creed Odyssey being played on low-power laptops, desktops, and tablets with the same experience. I mentioned that earlier. This concluded with the game being played on a TV with a Chromecast Ultra streaming device. Afterward, we learned that Doom Eternal will also be available on Stadia. We got a look at the Stadia controller and learned about its cross-platform support, which is cool.
That is cool.
That is really cool. You can get the full rundown and a roundup on the Google Stadia Gaming News from GameSpot.com. They also talked a lot about, this article didn't go into a ton of it, I think it's going to try to play video, which is not great. They mentioned that all of the game instances are going to be, they're all going to be from Google's data centers. So all of these are beginning to be.
I think that's the most exciting part.
Absolutely. Like, you don't have to worry about, oh, well, I have this garbage computer, which I do.
Right.
And I want to play this brand new game, but I don't want to pay, you know, $500-$600 for the brand new box that whoever is selling, or like, I don't want to have to go through and build a computer.
Dude, I just set up the HTC Vive that I've owned for a while, but I have not had a computer to play it on. Finally got that all up and running, which is very fun, but it was really making me talk through, like, how much it takes to get that set up. I have to, of course, own the Vive, but I also have to have a computer that is capable of running all of that. And I also have to have, like, a space to put that up, which, of course, the space is irrelevant to the Google thing. But the idea of, like, all of these barriers to entry to get there, not to even mention the money, that's tough. Like, that is why everybody doesn't have a Vive or even any VR.
Gaming's prohibitively... it's kind of an expensive hobby.
Yeah, like, well, especially that. And so when you look at other things like a fragmented, I don't know if that's the right word, but player base that's split between PC and different consoles, even mobile, there are all these ways that gamers have to pick and choose where they're going to play. And the whole idea is that this is going to solve that by giving you access to all these games on any device that basically can hook up to a Microsoft service, which now also will include Nintendo. Or we'll include the Switch. But that stuff's super cool for a lot of reasons. I could want to send you a game and you could just boot it up. Doesn't matter, you know, your computer has to be, you know, kind of reasonable, but your computer isn't doing heavy lifting. Your computer is basically just a movie theater screen where the projector is doing all the work, and the projector in this case are Google servers. So all you have to do is have a screen, you know, and a keyboard and mouse, and you're good to go.
Absolutely. PC. Yeah, and they said that it's going to support... They have a dedicated Stadia controller, which looks like a controller. Like, it in my mind, it looks like something that you would kind of... If you were watching a TV show or, like, a sitcom, and somebody, like, had just a fake gaming console, and they just had a controller, it looks exactly like this. Like,
if you 3D printed...
It's got
printed.
A, B, X, and Y.
Right.
It's got a D-pad, it's got sticks, and it's got, like, a... for lack of a better term, a start and select button. It's got Google Assistant support, which is interesting, but everything Google does now anyway does.
Well, if it's as good as the other, you know, the other robot servant services, then sweet. Because, like, I know PlayStation, if I plug in my mic, I can technically do voice commands, but nah.
Right. Yeah, I honestly completely forget it has that feature.
Right.
They also mentioned that they at launch, it's going to stream 4K 60 FPS. Which is pretty wild.
Yeah.
And they said they're shooting higher than that.
The fact that it's streamed at all and it can hit that today is huge.
Right.
Boy. I mean, they're not even saying, like, we expect to have it soon. Like, it's definitely possible and we'll have it soon.
Yeah, they straight up said at launch, this is what we are doing. Like, it's going to be our software, our data centers, which are going to be running this, have custom-built hardware, entirely for this. Mm-hmm. And it's basically your... They didn't go into pricing, unfortunately, or a lot of games, but they said, like, you would be paying this amount of money to be on this service, or you would, I don't know how it would work, but you basically would just click a link and then just be playing it immediately, and it would just take that instance from the hardware there and just stream it directly to you.
So the first question that you'd have there is, what if I don't have good internet? Can I play this game if I don't have good internet? And the answer seems to be, yes, you can, based on the Ubisoft stuff, the Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, for the most part, I would say. There's definitely, like, a cutoff. I know I was in the Project Stream beta. It worked great, but they did say, hey, 25 megabits down is going to be like the cutoff point for like what is acceptable quality. Like, you should probably not do this unless you have that. Mm-hmm. And there were people online reporting that they were getting by just fine, like even on Wi-Fi with a bunch of other people using the internet. But even then, they were only down to like 19, and they were still working fine. There were some hiccups, sure.
I'm always surprised at how well my girlfriend's internet runs, like when I'm in a game. Like, download speeds are bad. They're very, very slow. But we are on the basic package, so it's to be expected. But when I'm in a game, so if I'm in Apex or I'm in Overwatch, I don't really have lag. Like, I'm always surprised at how unaffected my game is by that speed. So given there's a lot, you know, there's a big difference between playing Overwatch with 12 people on screen or even Apex with a bunch more people. There's a big difference between that and running all of Ubisoft and all of Assassin's Creed and streaming all of that through, like, where all the power is being done on the other side and it's trying to get through a tiny little pipeline. Mm. That's a big difference. But, you know, if I'm having as much success now with the slow, I mean, like 3 megabytes of internet, I'm hopeful for this. Like, if you're saying it worked at like 19,
yeah,
I believe it.
Which, sure, I mean, that is also just an anecdote from a stranger on the internet.
Right, but that's pretty, a lot of people seem to say, to have for similar sure.
feedback. Like, it seemed like people replying to that particular post, I think it was on Reddit, said, yeah, like, this is kind of checking out with my experience, too. And I think it's a really neat thing. I do, like, so before I get into kind of my take on it a little bit more, they're also building it around, it's integrated heavily into YouTube, just kind of as a platform, which I think is really interesting. Mm-hmm. So you will be able to pretty much immediately stream your games, which isn't very uncommon anymore. You know, Xbox and the PS4 both have like built-in streaming like applications and like that kind of software. Mm-hmm. But they are planning on, you can just stream your game directly to like your YouTube channel, and it's actually going to be like you have your one instance of that game getting like sent over to you, but there's going to be another like set aside instance of like computing power that is going to only be doing that streaming, so you're not actually taking any sort of latency hit. So it's just going to all be handling that in the background, which I think is a really smart move. And then you can even, game developers can go through, and if they want to code their games to where you can like have, say you're watching like somebody do like a challenge run or something of a video game, and you want to be doing the exact same they are, but they have like a special like item in their inventory that causes that to happen and it's hard to find that item, then theoretically you could just click on the link that they put in the description of the video and just start playing that game with their exact same loadout. So you can basically like export like save states, mm-hmm. as games, which I think is a really cool thing.
Which is funny, before we, you know, actually get into it, that the PlayStation news that we're going to get into later in the show is called, basically their Nintendo Direct, mm-hmm. was called State of Play.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, so that's really the thing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is so cool.
Yeah, and they also have something, I forget what it was called. I think it's called CrowdPlay or something. They dropped a lot of terms that I do not remember what they are.
Right, and another reason why it felt like a board meeting or like a,
sure,
and for
sure,
investors and
it,
not for
it
gamers.
It felt absolutely like a Google, like, hey, we're showing off the new Pixel phone.
Totally.
It has this feature called this. I'm like, I just need to know what it does.
Because if it was a game thing, like, we would not have forgotten any of the big poppin' words. Like, they would have said them a million times.
Sure.
They would have been front and center in all the branding. But
yeah, I feel
Google
like it's
straight
just
up was
easier
just like
to describe what it is.
Yeah.
Which, in this case, so say the example they used was, say you're watching somebody play NBA 2K on a Stadia stream, and you want to hop in, and you can basically just click a button like below the chat, and it's going to add you to the queue of people who are playing next, and then it's just going to seamlessly just launch your game in Chrome, and then you're, mm-hmm. just playing with this dude who is streaming to his following. And I think that's really cool and has some really neat applications to it. You could tell a little bit that they were kind of, I felt like anybody watching that over at Twitch seemed a little nervous about that.
Yeah.
Just because I know they've been trying to do some similar things with that since Amazon bought them. You can like click on a link, you can click on the name of the game and immediately just be taken to a link to buy it, which is cool. Mm-hmm. But this is literally click on it, play it in 5 seconds, and you're playing with your favorite streamer.
Right, because there's no, you don't have to own the game. I mean, you have to be able to access it, however they block
right,
that off.
Right, and we don't know that yet, unfortunately.
Right. But the important thing is you don't have to have it installed. So if
there's no installs, there's no patches. Mm-hmm. Like all that stuff is handled back end. You just play the damn game.
Yeah,
like that's wild.
Man, yeah, there are a lot of different ways the like pricing on this stuff can go. So I'm interested, before I speculate on it, you know, mm-hmm. I'm interested to see how that actually goes, because boy, that could. I mean, already everything we've heard is, I mean, I would go so far to say as revolutionary.
Oh, without a doubt.
You know, this stuff. So, okay, so all this state of play stuff, like, so your game state that you can export, you know, as a link, all this stuff is super cool for playing, because you could see somebody's game and jump in either to play with them, or if it's a single player game, you jump in right where they were to maybe solve a tough puzzle that they're not beating, but you just want to see yourself beat it.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm really interested in is the future of streaming, because esports has been like, I like watching esports, but I don't like it as much as I want to like it. Watching League of Legends can be really tough. It can be really tough for a bunch of reasons, but the one I want to focus on is Overwatch. It has even more players at any given time than League of Legends does. And you can't see everybody's cooldowns and stuff at all times. Actually, I'm not sure about that. I think you can see everybody's cooldowns just the same way you do League of Legends. But the issue is, when you're watching Overwatch League, for example, right? You can only see what the hosts, what the shoutcasters want you to see. You know, so some one person is controlling where the camera goes, and you might have multiple camera angles to pick from, much like a traditional sport. But you are always only able to see what they want you to see. And there's so much else going on. You know, if I'm watching and I really only care about watching this Moira, right? Like, I only want to watch Moira, or I only want to watch Tracer. I don't have the option of only doing that. Like, if I'm a Tracer main, I'm trying to watch this to learn how to play better. I don't necessarily care about everybody. Maybe I just want to watch this one hero. Well, if this game is being exported, like if the game they are playing is not, it's not something that exists only on the stream that they have. It is a game in a box, and you can put that box in your computer. So now you can fly the camera around that broadcast in real time.
Mm-hmm.
That is so interesting to me, because now you are only as limited as your ability to use the camera.
Sure.
So like, my issue is, I feel like I don't have freedom when I'm watching it. Like, in a football game, you're pretty much watching the important stuff at all times. I never feel like I can't see what's happening when I watch football, American football. With esports, I constantly feel like I'm not quite seeing exactly what I want to see. Like, there's always something going on that I wish I had seen.
Mm-hmm.
And this allows me, especially if you replay it, you could replay a professional match and change the camera angle. You could rewind. You can do a replay in your own time. Like, that stuff is fascinating to me. And that actually seems like a viable future for the spectatorship of esports.
Without a doubt. And one of the things they did show off also, which I thought was super impressive, is they just straight up were just like, hey, split screen's been really hard for people to do.
Mm-hmm.
Stadia takes care of that, because each one of those is just its own instance that we're providing the power for. Because, you know, Google, they have one or two hundreds of thousands of like server racks running these things, you know.
It was some big number of teraflops. Whenever they whip that number out, it's like, oh, it's serious.
Yeah, oh yeah. Because I mean, yeah, the hardware that thing is running is absolutely monstrous.
Yeah, it said that the power,
I think they said it was like the Xbox One X and the PS4 Pro, like, just combined
plus a little bit.
Yeah, which is wild.
That's wild.
But one of the things they mentioned about like split screen in particular was, split screen's great because you're just both playing your own instances now, and they can just both be on the same screen. It's just like you're just watching a video that just happens to be two games going on at the same time.
I remember playing Halo Reach, and we would play up to four players. This was back in college, and we would usually, as our like pre-gaming before we went out for the night, we would open a few beers and everybody would hop on a corner of the screen and we'd play like a party mode or something, right? And you'd have to play a party mode because when you're splitting that screen into four parts, the fidelity and draw distance are
it's minimal, god awful.
Yeah, so unless you already know where everything is, you're not really walking around discovering stuff, because the game can't load enough for you to look around the way you would in single player.
And the thing that I think that impressed me the most about it wasn't the fact that they've just figured out a way to make split screen viable, which, cool, that's great, that's really awesome. I know that's something that a lot of people think is important. But the thing that really impressed me was they showed off I think just a multiplayer like proof of concept, essentially, where you have one person who's just like on the main screen, and then you have like a team of like five other people, and then you can just put their like exactly what they're seeing up at the top of the screen, and just like five like little boxes.
Yeah, so you can... dude, if I was able to play Apex and I was able to see the screen
right
of my teammates, not just see them on my screen, but to actually see what they are seeing at any given moment.
And even not just exactly doing that, but the design space that allows developers to have is so fucking cool.
Can you imagine being on PC? You've got three monitors. The middle one is yours. The left one is your buddy, and the other one's your other buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at a full, three full res screens that show all the information that your team knows, every single little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is amazing for multiplayer.
It's pretty rad.
That is so cool.
Yeah, and I just, like, all of the stuff they were, like, they were showing it off as, like, hey, we know this is really cool, so we're just showing this to you. But also, they were very upfront about, like, hey, developers, ball is in your court. Like, mm-hmm. we don't want you... We are giving you this platform so you don't have to feel like you have to limit what you want to do, which I think is a really neat, cool way of approaching that. Because up until now, where game streaming never really was a thing, or you were kind of confined to, honestly, like the strength of the consoles at the time. Like PCs are kind of...
What do you mean game streaming wasn't a thing?
Like streaming the games, not like watching Twitch streams.
Oh, I understand. Yes. Yeah.
So... But you were kind of, up until this point, like, confined hardware-wise, for the most part, to the strength of whatever consoles you were on. Sure, things would probably run better on PC and all of that other stuff, and things were, like, designed for PC in mind, but a lot of people, most people, I would say, are still on consoles, and you have to kind of plan around that. But this...
Well, hold on, we get emails. I don't know. I don't think I'd agree that most people are on console.
Okay, that's fair.
But as someone who is pretty much only on console until this weekend, yeah, this is important to me because I understand the argument of like, oh, PC better than console. It's so much stronger stuff. I hear that. I'm just not that interested.
Same.
So
same here.
To have something like this that's so broad that it appeals to everybody, including me, that's pretty cool because I don't. Like, the whole point is they want to give you freedom to not have to pick and choose. And, like, that phrase, like, that idea seems to be the entire message they're trying to send with Stadia. Which, hey, I read online Stadia is the plural for stadium. Apparently stadiums.
Yeah, I didn't figure that out until, like, right after it. I'm like, oh, Stadia, that's... stadium. Got it. Makes sense. And then, like, the like, trailer they had was, like, you walking into different stadiums.
Oh, was
or
it?
Or Stadia, I guess, if I'm going to be correct.
I mean, it's really clever for them because now they made like they practically invented a word, but it turns out it was a word the whole time, and it's stadium, so that they know exactly what they're doing.
Sure.
But yeah, I just thought that was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. They also announced that they are forming like a first party studio to just build stuff for their own platform, which I think is really interesting. I'm interested to see what they do. Yeah, a lot of it seems really cool. There were a few kind of things that concerned me a little bit about the whole presentation.
Like Google being in control of everything?
I mean, there's that to an extent. I think the issue that I have with it mostly is the fact that Google is usually very trigger-happy with ideas of theirs that don't work. And that, like, there's a lot of things that Google has done that are very cool, and they found, like, a very niche following. And then they just put them in the dirt because not enough people were using them. And I think I'm a little concerned about, like, from a game preservation standpoint, like, you don't own those games. So, like, once that is turned off, like, once Stadia, if that ever happens, or if it just completely falls apart, if Google decides to pull the plug for whatever reason, then you just don't, there's no way to get to those games anymore because they're built off of an infrastructure that's just
that's the age of streaming. It's that, like, when Spotify first came out, I was like, man, this is amazing, but also, like, the more content I have access to, the less content I actually own.
Sure.
So now I basically own zero of the music that I listen to.
Right. And, like, even with, like, Steam, you know, like, you don't own those games. You're leasing them from Steam, essentially. Like, it's in their terms of service that you don't actually own any sort of right to those.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird to think about. And I don't know how much of that is, like, I think it is a concerning thing because I think that kind of art that people are putting their time and effort into should be preserved. But also, I understand, like, the convenience, and if it's built specifically for that platform, I get that.
It's a weird thing. I forgot. This is other news that also came out this week, but the official unveiling of the discless Xbox One X, right? Mm-hmm. For me, doesn't affect me at all. Well, I mean, I don't own an Xbox anyway, but the idea is I only buy digital stuff. Like the discs I own, I actually find annoying. I wish I didn't own them. Mm-hmm. I wish I only had digital copies.
I'm kind of the same way. I really only buy physical for anything that I think is important to me.
Yeah,
because that's really just kind of it.
I pretty much buy indies and AAA games that I know positively that I will enjoy.
Sure.
Like I am in no hurry to spend $60 on a game that I'm not positive that is a good investment.
Right.
So for me, like buying used games isn't really a thing. Returning games isn't really a thing. If I go to GameStop or somewhere like that, I'm pretty much only buying controllers or peripherals or something. Mm-hmm. You know, I even bought a DLC code at one point because I had like a coupon or something.
Might as well.
But that's as far as those go. Like even that, I bought a digital code in a physical store.
Right.
Which shows that, I mean, that is my opinion on that in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't even want to have to go to the store. I want everything to be accessed when I need it. But so the flip side of this is, well, what do you do when you can't get access to these services anymore?
Right.
But it seems like the answer to that is, well, they'll just remake it available later on. You know,
and there's a few cases where that hasn't necessarily been the case. Like everybody always points to that Scott Pilgrim game. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I know that it exists, and I've listened to the soundtrack.
It's great.
It is.
It's just like a little side-scroller beat-em-up that came out around the time that the movie came out. And you just straight up cannot download it anymore. Like, there were some licensing issues to where it's just completely gone. It's like PT. You can only have it if it's already installed. Like, if you delete it, or if you, like, your hard drive crashes, it is just gone.
And it's crummy.
It is. It's incredibly crummy. And, like, that game, like, I played through it. It wasn't anything like super special to write home about, but it had this like cool charm to it. And it sucks that you just don't really get to experience it ever again. Like all of the work and everything that people spent, I'm going to say months, maybe years of their life on, is just completely just vanished. And like people can't experience or like have that anymore, which is frustrating. Short of illegitimate means, but like that shouldn't be the only way to get that kind of stuff.
Right. And it's frustrating that there doesn't seem to be a solution on the horizon for stuff like that. I don't know what their licensing issue was, but I know that music licensing is generally a problem as games get older. I mean, GTA had to do a whole thing.
GTA 4 patched out a bunch of songs just because the licensing agreement ran out.
Right.
Which is wild.
And and that's just an interesting thing, because just because you own the game doesn't mean you own everything in it.
Right.
Which is a really unusual thought. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to think that if you bought the rights to music, you bought the rights. You had them now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a title of a car. You've got it. You can hold it in your hand. It's yours now until you give it away. I never realized this was like a refreshing, like an agreement you had to refresh. Of course, like Spotify, okay, you know, when the new year hits, it's like, oh, I can't listen to the Age of Mythology soundtrack anymore. Mm. Weird.
Yeah, like a bunch of just leave Spotify. Just kind of out of nowhere, too.
Right. And I certainly can't tell. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no way that I would be able to tell as a layman to, you know, to be able to see, oh, this stuff's going to, its license is going to expire on the new year.
Well, they also don't really make that stuff publicly aware for the most part.
Right. So. They would have no reason to.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just an unusual situation. Mm-hmm. And, the idea, I don't really know how to feel about that stuff. A discless Xbox, cool. I think I'm on board.
Sure.
But even one step further of, like, gaming turning into Spotify as a streaming-only service where you do not own the content. You may own a license, but you do not own the content. Well, you cannot use it.
I would say, like, because with the digital-only stuff, you're still only getting that license, but there's still, like... Mm-hmm. It's not entirely, you can play it on things that are not, like, if Stadia shuts down, those games are gone.
Right.
And, like, if Xbox Live shuts down tomorrow, those games are still there, for the most part. Like, sure, they're going to be, like, a little bit wounded, and, like, parts of them are going to be missing. Like, you're not going to be able to play Halo online, because Xbox Live is gone.
Right.
But you can still play Halo, and people can make and do their own stuff with that. But I'm just a little concerned about those games just suddenly being dead, especially just considering Google's track record for things not working out after a couple of years, and then they just put it in the ground.
Oh, sorry, we pulled the plug on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh boy, okay. It's really wish I had picked a different service.
Right. It's a little frustrating, and I am cautiously optimistic for this service. But
if this only becomes like, forget about the gameplay stuff, if this only becomes the future of streaming for esports, I'm on board.
Totally. I think there's a ton of application, like there's just so many good applications for it. I think they just got to lean in the right direction to kind of accommodate that.
Yeah, and I hope they don't get too lofty headed with this stuff and go in a direction that they think people want to go when it's not.
Sure.
Because if there's anything to know about the gaming community, they will get out their torches and pitchforks pretty quick. And if Google shows their hand that they're trying to do a we know what's best for you kind of thing.
I don't think that would end well.
No, because once that stuff starts, it's really hard to repair it.
So. I also had a hang up because I guess I'm just at the point of the show where I just talk shit on Google's new service now. I also did not really. So they, I forget what it was called, but they had this thing where it was a purely development thing where they showed just this character, just a very rough, rudimentary model walking through this very rough, rudimentary city. And they basically just could apply a painting to it or like a piece of art to it. And it would just apply that style dynamically using Google's machine learning, which is cool.
It is cool.
But my mind immediately went to, okay, this is neat now. But like, what happens as this gets better if bigger companies see that as good enough and then just start firing a bunch of people? Like a bunch of like your art staff or the creatives in an industry that's already unbelievably hard to get a good job in.
Yeah.
And like, obviously not now, but you could like just completely like use machine learning to create models or just assets altogether, or maybe even music or really a lot of things.
I didn't even think about music. So, right, sure. So last week, Josh and I talked about the Division 2 and he went all in. This is funny because this was, I think, the day before the Stadia announcement. It might have been 2 days, but he was like, he's blown away by how realistic the DC world map is in that game, similar to the way that Marvel Spider-Man was a very accurate Manhattan. That stuff is super cool, but he was like, I want to see that in more places. Like, if you live in Kansas City, I want there to be that version. Like, I want to see that level of detail for Kansas City. If you live in Phoenix, I want that. If it's LA, you know. And I was like, man, that sounds super cool. But that is a staggering amount of time and effort.
Honestly, just kind of straight up impossible. Well, that's what I said. Just like being realistic about it, sure.
But then watching the AI stuff, which, so there was Stadia, and then there's the one you're talking about, well, which was during the Stadia announcement.
Yeah.
There's another one. I want to say it's an NVIDIA thing. I don't quote me on that. But an article was all over the internet this past week, where you could just use like Microsoft Paint and draw a really bad looking
landscape. I'm like, oh no.
And it turns it into a photorealistic. I mean, it actually looks photorealistic. So that's crazy and kind of frightening for all the reasons.
I think from a technology standpoint, that is cool as hell.
Totally.
From a people standpoint, it's fucking terrifying.
Yeah, it really is. So, you know, for me being like, Josh, man, You got big ideas. I'm going to pat you on the back, but sorry, buddy. I don't think it's going to happen. And then 2 days later, it's like, oh man, maybe this is going to happen.
Yeah, or like the fact that Google like could host something like that.
Right.
Like, that's something that you could do with that hardware, which is
you
nuts.
Think, too, that they have their infrastructure that they use for Ingress and obviously for Google Maps, which is where Ingress pulled from. If you can take all these pictures, if you can take all these models, you know, it really seems like you could make all of those city models like in real time, like the AI would just generate it and boom, poof, like there go all the man hours you had to put into that. Like you just solved so many problems. Now get your humans to fix the bugs, you know?
Right. My concern is a company just like being like, ah, oh, that's good enough. And then just laying off a bunch of their like actual staff. Cause there's like, we got a computer that'll do it for us.
Right.
Which is not great.
Yeah. We have some DJ friends who have struggled with, this stuff's pretty new to me, but, they were saying that one of the people here in the city and in a certain district who owns a ton of nightlife places, clubs and all this stuff. He's trying to get everybody to upload their songs onto Well, he's trying to get them to upload their set list so he can make a Spotify playlist. Well, basically, I don't know if he's explicitly said that, mm-hmm. but he wants to have all the music that they want to play available at any given time. But boy, that's like one step away from being like, oh, I already have all the music that
you
play.
Yeah, I have all of your stuff. I'm just...
I don't need you anymore.
Sure.
You know, sure. And it's like, oh, man.
That's kind of my concern with this. Like, I know it is absolutely not at this place now. And sure, like, AI can, or machine learning, technically, can make art and music and stuff like that. Now it does not sound like anything a person would make and want to put out there as like a very polished, like, professional product. But you take a look at how a lot of that stuff is gone. Like, there is software out there now that will let you emulate someone's speech patterns and have an AI basically
and facial
exactly
everything. It's yeah,
fucked up.
We're getting really and close to that line.
It's not good in my opinion. But so I know a lot. I think like I think there are good applications for it, but I am always thinking about, all right, worst case scenario here, what's going to happen? And I think absolutely, like, creatives are on the chopping block if this really takes off.
Yeah. I have some, like, more complex ideas on artificial intelligence that I'll probably save for another time. but what it comes down to is, as a consumer, are you going to choose to care more about the producer instead mm-hmm. of only the product? The issue is that the track record of the gaming industry and the internet hate machine is that generally people care much, much more about the product than sure. the producer.
Yeah.
And that's spooky because, you know, people are going to get mad about what they're going to get mad about, but I'm not so confident that they're going to get mad at the right things. You know, the right things would be protecting workers and finding value in artists, not right. just the art, because if you only find value in the art, when the AIs, you know, when a machine can make that art, what do you really care about?
Right.
So, yeah, it's just tough because you have to care about the people. I mean, you don't, mm-hmm. and a lot of people won't, but you have to.
Right.
And that's a decision you have to make as a person. This isn't just for gaming. And, you know, it's up to each of us to decide where our priorities lie.
Right.
You know, because we could be, or we could know somebody who's on that chopping block, and it's a slippery slope, really, of, you know, if you don't back them up now, when are you going to back them up? Are you going to back them up?
Right.
So, you know, as I goofily stated before the show, gaming could always use more heroes.
Ha!
Get it?
It's like it's a title of a show or something. Ooh.
Okay, so...
yeah, I mean, all that said, like, exciting. I'm tentatively excited for this platform. I think it could do some really cool things. I think...
I'm both definitely very excited and nervous.
Same. Absolutely same.
Like, I've got good and bad anxiety.
Right. And I don't know how much of that is us just being so used to kind of gaming in its current form, like where you can just buy a disc at a GameStop or wherever, or just have like a cartridge you can just throw on your Switch mm-hmm. or like just download a game and it's there for you always. Like, I don't know how
Dude,
much of that,
can you imagine,
that uneasiness is just us.
You know? It's not going to be long. On Spotify, if you want to hear a song, you can point your camera at what's basically a QR code.
Sure.
And boom, it's right there. Like, you didn't have to do any work. You just pointed your camera. Your phone did all the work. Imagine if you see a QR code on a wall and now you're playing this game. Like, five right. seconds later, you're playing a game because you saw a QR code
mm-hmm.
and it's booted up and running and you're in it.
It's pretty fucking crazy.
It doesn't even seem like that's on the horizon. It almost seems like with this announcement that we're there. We're oh, like, totally. I'm just waiting to see a QR code outside and then there's already a game mm-hmm. running on my phone.
Yeah. So... that was a lot, so let's go ahead and take a break, get into some more news, and yeah, we'll see you there.
Cool.
Hey friends, this is Cam, one of the hosts of the Gamer Heroes podcast. We really hope you're enjoying the show you're listening to right now, and if you are, please consider becoming a patron of the Heroes Podcast Network at patreon.com/heroespodcasts. Your support would genuinely mean the world to us, and would allow us to cover hosting costs for the website, get new equipment and software, and even make it out to different conventions and events to meet you, our loyal listeners. All Patreon tiers will get you access to the Patron Lounge and Slack, which will allow you to chat and interact with your favorite HPN hosts. On behalf of everyone here at HPN, thank you all so much for your continued support. We really couldn't do any of this without you. And we're back. What's up?
Oh, you know.
Do I know?
No, you
okay,
don't.
Yeah, you're right, I don't. Actually, I do, because I have this handy-dandy document over here that tells me more video games happened this week.
Ooh, more video
games. They sure did. So there was a GDC Nintendo Indies or Nindies presentation, kind of like a mini little Nintendo Direct that happened. There was some really cool stuff in that. I think the one that everybody kind of lost their fucking mind over, myself included, is the fact that Cuphead is coming to the Nintendo Switch.
Beow, 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 beow.
Like next month.
Yeah, that's exciting. Because I had to ask you, and I have to ask every time, but I was like, is Cuphead on PS4? And the answer is a resounding no.
Yeah, it's a Microsoft second party game, essentially, because it was all like that funding for that game came from Microsoft. It's published by Microsoft Studios.
Is that what second party is, or did you just make that up?
No, second party is like, you know, first party is like it's owned by the studio. Mm-hmm. Second party is it's an exclusive that's like published by that for them, but they're an independent studio.
All right.
And then third party is just whoever, it's on whatever.
So would that mean like Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, since that was bought by Microsoft?
I would say no, just because that was before they were bought by Microsoft.
Right, but now that they are, now is that a first party thing?
I don't know.
Neither.
I think it's a weird technicality. Once you get into, like, you buy it, but the game's already out, and it's still coming to other platforms, that kind of doesn't
well,
really
but
matter,
I mean, but Ninja Theory, that's who that
yeah.
is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ninja Theory's going to make another game.
Right.
And then is that game first
That'll
party?
Totally be first party.
Okay. Well, cool. Glad we got that ironed
yeah,
out.
Great. Awesome. So, yeah, Cuphead. I kind of, like, I had always held out hope. I have not really played that much of Cuphead yet. There was a part of me that just like, oh man, this is going to be perfect for the Switch. Like,
yeah.
And like, I was like, oh man, I wonder if the stars are ever going to align where we're going to see Cuphead on the Nintendo Switch.
Dude.
Yeah. I was freaking out and I was at work watching this. Sorry, boss. And yeah. I was at work watching this and I was just like, what? And like my coworkers were just like, what? And I'm like, Cuphead Switch. And they're just like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on. Nice. It's so cool. Yeah, no, it's really cool to just see neat little kind of bonus things like pop up from Nintendo and Microsoft working so closely together lately.
Yeah.
It's fucking wild.
Dude, just this whole, from hardware to software to devs and publishers, all just, there's so many changes right now. I mean, so many, whether it's like streaming,
mm-hmm.
whether it is virtual reality. Whether it's Xbox Live being on the Switch, which is like,
right.
What?
Yeah.
Crossplay between the different systems, which isn't even to mention the stuff that we're going to see with Stadia.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many changes right now. And honestly, I like that it's blurring the line, the hard lines that have always existed in gaming. You know, like, are you split? You know, is PC, is a game coming out only on PC or only on consoles? If it's multiplayer, can they play together?
Mm-hmm.
If this, that, and the other, you know, those hard lines that have been here as the industry has grown, you know, and they've only gotten deeper, and only like recently have we seen some changes in that department. Boom, boom, boom. This year, we're only in March.
Yeah. What
and
the fuck?
I just
it's
feel
March.
Years ago, 5 years ago, this time of year was a slow time. You were still like, now is when games would start to come out again, like in the middle of March, from the drought,
right.
After the holiday season. You know, like I feel like 5 years is a reasonable time to have said that.
I feel like it kind of ramped up around the time like Resident Evil 7 came out, because that was like, okay, that year started and it never stopped.
Was that the year that Breath of the Wild came out? Because I would say,
I think so. That might be right. I think that's right.
I blur them together.
Yeah.
But the fact that I blur them together is a testament to how many years we've had with full first quarters now, because we've had. Like Horizon was a first quarter announcement, release rather.
Yeah,
Breath of the Wild was. I want to say that Super Mario Odyssey was, but I can't.
Super
remember.
Mario Odyssey was that fall.
Okay.
But you also had like Persona 5 and Nier Automata,
right,
mm-hmm. like in that first quarter, and those games are fucking monsters. Like,
yeah.
What?
And just a bunch of stuff where it's not even like, oh, some quality games came out. It was like, oh, these AAA games.
Like these big-ass video games that like are just like super meaty and like incredibly well-made and have like a lot of force and funding put behind them.
Mm-hmm. Because it's not so unlike the movie cycle where it's like, oh, May, summertime movies now. Now mm-hmm. grab your popcorn. We got blockbusters.
Right.
You know, games, it was always like, all right, you got your... like summer coming up, so people are going to have more free time. Of course, gamers tended to be younger where they had a summer break.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't exist anymore, RIP, adult life. because I'm not a teacher. But you know, you would have your winter release, your holiday releases, boom, 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 everything comes out in November.
That's always like the time. Like, right. you always look forward to, all right, what's coming out this fall?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause
and they come out, everybody buys what they're going to buy for Christmas, Black Friday, all that stuff. And then everybody plays that for a couple months. Mm-hmm. And then in March, it starts to pick back up again. But there used to be such a big drought where there wasn't anything going on there, because why would you? That wasn't a time that people spent a lot of money, so why were you going to release a game at a time when people already spent all their money?
Sure.
But now there's such a consistent, like the release window of games is now 12 months of the year. And there are a lot of publishers that are big and confident enough to have enough diverse studios that boom, 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 all throughout the year they're coming out with all sorts of new titles of different sizes. Some new IPs, some sequels, but there's just so much more diversity. And that's all so much better for the player, because you have better options and you're not just stuck. You're not limited to the profit cycle,
right,
of these companies who had to release their games during those windows to stay afloat and make the money they need to make those games. But yeah, so just a lot of changes. It's the best time to be playing video games.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, you know, we have new stuff every year and access to everything from the past for the most part. And then as I've brought up a lot recently, modern older games, even like The Last of Us, that was like 5 years ago, I think.
Oh my god, it's like 2013. Yeah.
You could tell me that came out last year based on the quality. I mean, sure, you're gonna see some age in it, but that's a quality ass game.
Totally.
Horizon 2-3 years ago, I don't know, a while ago,
I think that was 2017 also.
I could pick it up now and you could, you know, if you told me it just came out, I'd believe you. Mm-hmm. Breath of the Wild, Super Mario Odyssey, like all this stuff in this generation feels new. There's so much good stuff from this generation that like the signs of wear and tear and age just aren't showing the way that they always have in the past. So man, there's just so much. I'm still sitting on God of War, which I haven't installed yet.
You should play God of War.
I hear it's fantastic.
You should play God of War. It's very good.
So I love having that in my back pocket. There's just so much to play. It's overwhelming, but in the best way.
Well, let me give you some more things to play.
All right.
They talked about it a little bit more than Cuphead.
Mm-hmm.
They showed off.
Yeah, sorry. I really got off track.
That's
there.
Okay.
I'm just really excited.
It's okay. I understand. Don't let anyone ever tell you you're wrong for being excited, Thomas.
Aw. Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, so they showed off Vlambeer, who did like Super Crate Box and Nuclear Throne.
You've mentioned those before. I don't know anything about them.
Well, they're coming to Switch.
Hell yeah!
I think Nuclear Throne is already out, which is great, because I've been meaning to play that game for a long time. It's one of those tough as nails. It looks very similar. It looks like it plays very similar to Enter the Gungeon, in that it's like a twin stick shooter, but it's a roguelike, and it's very, very tough, and it's like you're just trying to get to the end and just incrementally like inching your way farther and farther.
Does it have any multiplayer? Probably not.
I don't actually know. But it's on Switch.
I want more multiplayer roguelites.
Well, let's talk later.
Okay.
So they did that. Then they're also announcing Super Crate Box, which I played a lot on the PC. It's just a really fun arcadey thing. Just a neat little thing. They're doing that. And then they're also rolling out a Vlambeer Arcade, which is just them just doing a bunch of little mini games of just whatever they want to come up with. And just like they're rolling that out. If you buy it, you just get access to them as they come out. Just kind of
so it's like
thing.
A indie, or like a, well, I guess an indie is the right word, but an indie Game Pass kind of thing.
Sure. It's just, if you buy this one thing, it's like they just keep adding games to this particular package.
But they're full games, not like samplers.
They're like full games, but they're not huge.
They're just
games.
Small.
They're just like small little, like, they're like finished for sure, and they all have like the kind of polish that you would expect from Vlambeer, because their stuff is very polished,
but you probably wouldn't get like 10 hours out of it.
It depends. I mean, if you're into that kind of like high score kind of grind, it's like that kind of stuff, like arcadey style games. If you're into that, like I think it seems pretty cool. Like the stuff, the one game they showed off looked really neat. I forget the name of it, but it looked really neat.
Well, dude, there's been so much information this week that I cannot blame you.
Yep. They showed off a new adventure game from Timberline, which I think this might be their first debut title. It's called The Red Lantern. It is basically a first person like adventure game with like branching narrative paths and also elements of like roguelike stuff. to where you're like a character who is basically forcing themselves to complete the Iditarod dog sled race. So it seemed really cool. Like, you're basically like, it's all first person, you're like controlling the dogs. One of the dogs died in the trailer, so if you're not about that, probably don't watch it.
Dude, that's how they get you. It's like, right, they're like, can't kill a human, not gonna be powerful enough, kill a puppy.
Totally. It's like, oh, totally. But it seems to be, I don't know if it was necessarily procedurally generated, but it looked really neat. Also, Ashley Birch is voicing the main character, and Ashley Birch rules.
Who dead?
She's Aloy in Horizon Zero Dawn.
Okay.
Yeah, she's great. Say no more. She's really great.
Dude, I watched a really cool behind the scenes look of her talking about her role. And this was just last fall, I think, that it came out. So it's been a while.
Yeah.
And first things first, she did not look the way that I thought she was going to look. Of course, when you have a character that iconic, you really start to just think, especially with motion capture.
Sure.
You expect the character to look like the voice actor, because that's how a lot of games do it now. Well, that's not the case with her, and it's just funny having an idea. It's like on another podcast, the No Sleep podcast, my favorite one, with a bunch of spooky stories on it. They have a ton of voice actors where I'm like, yeah, I got a picture in my head, and they just hit 30,000 followers on the Facebook page, right? So they released videos where each voice actor came out and said a little thank you. And, you know, it'd say a message from so-and-so. And it's like, oh, I recognize that name. And I boot it up and I'm like, whoa, this person doesn't look anything like my mind's picture. Like, not even close. And it's just really funny to see those behind the scenes right. looks. So cool. That's exciting that she's doing another project.
Sure. All of her stuff is great. She did some really great work in the Life is Strange first series. She was, I forget what her name is. Is it Chloe?
The main character or the second?
I think, like, the main character, like the friend, yeah, like the blue punk hair. Rock one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's her as well.
I don't know why I don't recognize her name.
She did a really genuinely hilarious web series with her brother called Hey Ash, What You Playing? They still make me just lose my shit laughing every time. I will show you a few of them after we're done recording here. Perfect. They're very funny. Check those out if you haven't seen them. They're really good. They also showed off Stranger Things 3, the game. That was showed off, I think, in a previous Nintendo Direct, probably. That sounds about right. It's like this isometric, kind of old school style, like, beat 'em up, very, like, pixelated. Looks like something that comes from the era of Stranger Things.
So it's a beat 'em up.
I think so. It looks to be that way.
Well, my question now, so I played the Stranger Things game, so that's just what it's called. It's like an old Zelda dungeon crawler, kind of, with an overworld and stuff. It was fine. I would give it I felt totally neutral about it.
Sure. So
My question is, yeah, that was Stranger Things, the game. No number on it, but it would have been the first one, right? If this is Stranger Things 3 for like the third season,
so yeah,
is there a second one?
I don't know. I actually have never seen Stranger Things.
I've only seen the first season. It's a good show.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I've been told that it is
very good.
But it is launching day and date with third season. And from what I understand and what they talked about, you are basically like, you can watch the third season, or you can also like play through the third season.
Oh.
Which is just kind of a neat thing.
Cool, because the first game was not, it was adjacent to the first game. Like, you weren't, some parts you were doing the thing that happened in the show, but other parts you were just doing things that involved the characters. Like, it made sense. Like, if I hadn't seen the show, this would have still fleshed out the characters in some ways, but it definitely wasn't a playthrough of the first season, which actually left me a little confused sometimes, because the order that you discovered characters in, it was like, this, I don't know if this is how this should be. But that's kind of why I was lukewarm on that game. So anyway, that's a cool concept.
Yeah, it's at release. Weird that we're kind of rolling back around to, oh, cool, a licensed video game. Like, right. Just like, if you go back like 5 or 6 years, you're just like, just make it stop. Stop just making video games for your movies and TV shows.
Yeah, like the Alien game.
Yeah,
there's a Star Trek game that like seemed to fall flat on its face.
Right. Yeah. But now we're just back at like, oh yeah, cool, great.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a neat thing. But it looks like there's some like care and attention put into it, and I can tell that they're deliberately making some choices instead of just kind of rushing it out.
Yeah,
which I think is a smart move.
You know, I hope they, so Marvel Spider-Man is obviously licensed, right?
Yeah,
great video game though. Tons of people loved it.
Excellent game.
I can't remember if I own it, but I probably will.
I do. It's great.
Hey, I would love to see a game of the animated Spider-Man of what the heck is it even called?
Into the Spider-Verse?
Into the Spider-Verse. I would love...
So I haven't seen that movie yet either.
Oh my... Cam, you have to go see that movie.
I know I do.
Okay, like, so I know people say like, oh, stuff's good, you gotta watch it. You have to watch that. It's the best Spider-Man movie.
It is on my list of... It is actually, I think, top of my list for like, I have to watch this like right away.
All right, if you don't have a way to watch it, I'm gonna hook you up. For real, that was probably... did I watch it this year? I don't know, but that's one of the best movies. I think if I saw it last year, then it was my favorite movie I saw last year.
Sure, yeah. I think my girlfriend and I have talked about, like, let's just rent it one night and just watch it. Like, I think that's probably what we're going
to
do.
I wish I could see it in the theater again, to be honest. So,
kind of bummed I missed out on it in the theaters, honestly.
Well, yeah.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
It's going to be great. But yeah, it's very stylized, and the whole...
Yeah, the look of that movie looks phenomenal.
Yeah, well, the whole point of the movie is a mixture of styles, right?
Right.
And they do a really good job of fleshing that out in very clever ways. If they could make that magic, recreate that magic that they made in that movie and apply it to a video game, I mean, it seems practically ready to go. Like, the way that the styles...
I mean, at least visually.
Well,
sure.
They just interweave changes of style, like, of animation, and, like, sometimes you'll see, like, bam! Right? Like old comic book style.
That's pretty
kapow.
Cool.
But other times it'll do something similar to that, but distinctly different.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff felt kind of gamey to me, where it just did a good job. It reminded me of how in some games you'll see like callbacks to, like, let's say it's a dungeon crawler. You'll see like, oh, this is a callback to the second dungeon. I recognize that. It just did a really good job with stuff like that, where it felt gamey to me in the way of like, oh, so... Even there's like a, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but there's a part where there's like a twist, I guess, right? You know, because it's a movie. And totally did not see that coming. And the way that they had lined everything up, I was like, this was a really effective way to do this, because they made me look at, like, everything was so cool to look at that I was so focused on looking at the stuff that I wasn't even thinking about what could happen. I was very impressed by that movie. I know it's not a video game, but I would love to see a video game kind of in that style.
Did
at least
you play, what was it called? I think it was just Ultimate Spider-Man for like PS2, Xbox, GameCube.
The only one I played was the N64 one.
Okay, so that one was like a super cell shaded kind of look. It was designed like, it was basically an open world Spider-Man game where it was essentially like Ultimate Spider-Man universe, you know, and designed to like look and feel and sound and act like a comic book. Like the cutscenes had like the little lines separating each of the frames.
That's cool.
Which was really cool. And like anytime, like if you fought Rhino and he would like yell, then you would see like just a big like text box just burst out of his mouth while he was screaming at you. It was
a really
neat thing.
Borderlands would do that when you design like a boss, right? And it would do a little snapshot of him.
Sure.
It's like, oh yeah, okay.
That would be really rad.
Yeah.
I really liked that game a lot.
Who
Not
made,
a lot of people
who
did.
Was it Gearbox? Wasn't there Gearbox in the news?
Gearbox
for something?
Did. So Gearbox, next weekend, actually, as of this recording, is PAX East also. And they've been teasing like 50,000 announcements.
Well,
one of them is probably a Borderlands
game. Hopefully
they've
got this magical game I've thought of in the works.
Yeah. One of them, I think, is a Duke Nukem game, which, sure, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
I can't believe, I genuinely, like, no hyperbole, cannot believe that Duke Nukem is still an IP that's around.
I feel like the only way that you can do Duke Nukem right, like, now, like, in modern times, is... You have to make it incredibly self-aware in a way that makes it seem like he is ridiculous and super out of date.
Yeah.
But not like,
well,
glorify
like,
that.
Kind of like,
you know?
Blood Dragon, where it's like, oh,
sure.
You know how ridiculous you are.
Exactly. Like, I think the only way that you can do Duke Nukem in 2019 or whenever the fuck this comes out is you have to be aware of the fact that it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
A cuss shooter. As I heard it referred to recently. I had never put a name to what that stuff is, but that's like what Boltstorm was being. And I was
right.
Like, oh, yeah, that's totally its own
right.
genre. Like
yeah.
that.
I think if you take like kind of a Boltstorm approach to that, then that could probably work.
Just
you
like,
also just have to recognize that Duke Nukem is a character. Sorry, internet. Fucking sucks. then...
I mean, there's nothing to him. I mean, I think people like him because he sucks, right?
I can see that.
It's like one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, this is bad. I love it.
Right. No, I absolutely totally understand that. But I think you have to lean into that.
Right. You can't try to serious him up.
Yeah. Anyway.
Be like Axe Hero.
Going back to the Nindies thing. last big announcement I want to touch on, because there was a whole lot, and I recommend you go check that out, because all of those games on that Nindies presentation looked fucking phenomenal. There was a fucking game where you have a sword and fight enemies like a pinball machine. It's cool. I don't remember what it was called, but you should go check it out.
I'm going to have to see that, because I cannot picture.
But they also showed off something from the people who did Crypt of the NecroDancer, called Cadence of Hyrule. Which is Nintendo literally just handing them the rights to Legend of Zelda and saying, just fucking go make a game. Like, holy shit.
Dude, so what else are... Okay, well, first of all, before I crack jokes about it, so you just picked up Crypt of the
NecroDancer. Yeah, I picked up Crypt of the NecroDancer because of this announcement. Because I had always been on the fence, because I love roguelikes and I love rhythm games, and this one just kept evading me for whatever reason.
So this really is how this went down. So that we recorded last Monday, Stadia was announced on Tuesday, Nintendo had its announcement on Wednesday, because I know that same day.
And then I showed up as I bought Crypt of the NecroDancer for our Wednesday, like, strictly casual gaming meetup. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I guess I'm just going to fucking play this now. And my first time playing that was at that event.
That was, oh yeah.
I know I say this a lot on the show, but that music objectively fucking slaps.
that's gonna go on your tombstone, man.
It's so good.
Dude, I hope my outro music slaps.
Like, just... Anybody listening to this, just do yourself a favor. Go listen to, like, the first 5 or 6 tracks of the Crypt of the NecroDancer soundtrack. Really get them into your head, because they fucking rule. And then also recognize the fact that Nintendo is letting this guy do remixes of Zelda music.
That's funny. I didn't realize that. Okay, so here's the part where I start cracking jokes.
Okay,
so
hit me.
Who else are we going to see work with Nintendo to make another Zelda game? Because we've got... Dynasty Warriors, basically,
sure,
which is Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah.
You know, just like that's, I can't even pretend that that's a stretch, because that's clearly what they did.
It's entirely
that. It's exactly that.
Sure.
So you've got Dynasty Warriors, which is, you know, an old school, it's not a JRPG, but it's definitely like a Japanese style.
It's just kind of its own genre at this point.
Yeah, it is, but it's distinctly Japanese. It's distinctly non-American.
Sure.
Games have come out like that, but they're all like the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like Dynasty Warriors is the defining game of that genre. That also has like a more retro, like a traditionally retro, like PS1 era is when I want to think of it, kind of style to it. And just when you see that, even with the whatever the modern ones are, I don't know what number they're on, like 80, they could be. I think they're really on like almost 20 or something. But don't quote me on that. Point is, Crypt of the NecroDancer is not that. It is a totally different direction. I mean, it's
one of the most unique games I think I've ever played in my life.
A pixel rhythm game.
Right, like, but also totally a different dungeon crawler roguelite.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Right.
And like, you have to like do your actions to the beat.
So if you think about this, Hyrule Warriors is like, okay, we want to turn Hyrule Field into... its whole thing. Like, we want a whole game that's Hyrule Field, right? Here's an overworld, take it. Now, this is being like, all right, you know the other thing you love Zelda for? Dungeons. Now we're going to make a whole game that's just Zelda dungeons. You know, so, like, I wonder what else they could do that I haven't thought of yet. Because, like, you've got, you know, the overworld, and then you've got the dungeons. But I wonder what else they could do, because if they keep... Like, I think it's really encouraging to see them... take that approach of like, what do people like about our games? Okay, if we make a weird funny partnership or emulation, what from our game do we recognize that we want to recreate? Because like philosophically, I think that's wonderful for them to see something they like in their own game and then to look at another game and see something similar in a way that they can work together, but like in an official capacity, which is unusual. When I saw that announcement, Crypt of the NecroDancer and Zelda?
Yeah.
I had to like, double check.
Whoa!
Yeah, I had to look for another source because I was like, this is too strange.
My first thought was, okay, well, they're just adding Link and Zelda to Crypt of the NecroDancer.
That's what I thought, too.
Okay, you know, neat. Like,
oh, some skins. Cool.
Ganondorf is technically in Diablo.
Yes.
He's in Diablo 3 on the Switch.
Lol.
Yeah, it's cool. You can get his armor and then just be Ganondorf and just, okay, like, fuck up demons.
That's pretty cool.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, then they're just like, oh no, it's a new game. I'm like, oh, right. What? Oh man, it was, like, I was really excited for Cuphead, but they just, like, hit me with this thing I didn't know that I needed, and I fucking need it.
yeah.
And it comes out this spring, too.
Dude.
Like, that, like, immediate thing. I will buy
it
day one.
Yeah.
I have only played like 10 hours of Crypt of the Necrodancer.
I will play that day two when you bring it to one of our events.
Great. Or maybe day one.
Or maybe day one.
Maybe it's a Wednesday.
I am really excited to check that out, man. That's just a fun... I go back and forth on how I feel about Nintendo, and I don't have to rehash that all right now, but it's really encouraging to see them make positive,
sure,
like, I would say, progressive,
yeah,
changes.
Because between this, like, the fact that they are just, like, trusting... I would say next to Mario, their most valuable IP.
Oh, for sure.
With an indie studio.
Yeah.
Is wild.
That's really unusual.
And like between that and the fact that like earlier this year, they're just like, hey, we got to start over on Metroid Prime 4. We just wanted to let you know. Like, Nintendo's weirdly transparent in ways that they have not been in a while. Or they're like really open to working with like, you know, fucking Microsoft.
Dude, there's got to be something in the water.
Seriously. Like, it's really great and really cool, and I love seeing all of this. Because, like, people working together, like, this is how you get this cool, like, kind of wow factor.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird that... It was kind of cool to see, over the course of, like, 2 days, you have Google revolutionizing, like, possibly revolutionizing the future of gaming, period. And then you have people being honestly just as excited for a game... where Link dances.
Right.
Like, it's just a really cool thing that there's, like, so much space in video games for that.
For people to be excited.
Right.
Yeah. For just totally different things.
Sure.
They're, like, gaming is just so wide now. It's so deep because of how old it is. And we continue to have access to a huge amount of content that's been created in the past 1, 2, 3, 5 decades. You know, that stuff's wild, but it's also, so like, it's deep, but it's also wide, and every year it's just getting wider and wider, and the pool of games and ways to play just keeps expanding.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. It's just so much.
Yeah,
there's
honestly,
so much. Video games, man.
Fucking video games.
I wouldn't do that, but I would play them.
So, I kind of want to get through these last two news stories, but let's go ahead and take a break. We've been talking for about half an hour. So we'll come back, wrap up with those last two news stories, and then just call it a show.
Cool.
Hey, everyone. This is Greg from Red Shirts and Runabouts. We're the resident Star Trek podcast as part of the Heroes Podcast Network group. If you love Star Trek and things science fiction, we're definitely the show for you. Join us every Thursday as we talk about Star Trek Discovery, the new Picard show, and other ongoing content and new creations from the Star Trek universe. If you want to find us, search Red Shirts and Runabouts podcast on Apple and Google Play. And if you want to interact with us as a host, you can find us at RedShirtsPod on Twitter.
All right, welcome back. So, real quick, today I know there was the Sony did their kind of Nintendo Direct thing, but before that, there's been some reports coming out of the Wall Street Journal, I think, talking about, hey, Nintendo's going to drop 2 SKUs of Nintendo Switches this year.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. I know you kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I can hit these pretty quick. It's that there was a rumor going around near the end of last year, but it was a pretty well-confirmed rumor.
Right.
Like, this wasn't just a comicbook.com thing to endlessly
just
bash those guys.
Over yeah, there.
Yeah, I just... I'm not ashamed of how I feel about those guys. Anyway, there was a rumor of, hey, there's a new model on the way. And then the speculation part was really, what is it going to be? So it's like, we know there's going to be something. What's it going to be?
Sure.
A lot of people, I heard anything from, it will be a higher res screen, which is kind of wild to me because I think that screen looks great at the size
it
runs at. So I wouldn't know if that applied to just the handheld or the TV. Either way, that was just speculation, so it doesn't matter. Another one would be a Switch with a longer battery life. A couple more. I mean, whatever. It was the rumor mill, but a lot of people had a lot of interesting suggestions, I thought. But the important part is that that was confirmed. Nintendo didn't really have a statement on it, as far as I remember. So now this news that they're officially there will be a new Switch this year, but also there will be two of them. That's very interesting. We still have to speculate on what that will mean.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me, again, this is a speculation again, it seems like one is going to be a cheaper. Honestly, I read a few different articles, but they seem to all have similar information, but I am not really sure what the source is. But I trust, like, the Wall Street Journal, for example.
Sure, yeah, and they were the ones who actually broke the story, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's unusual.
They usually don't do a whole lot of games stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I mentioned on one of either this show or our upcoming show when we've recorded those episodes that Forbes is a website that has covered video games for a while, but until recently it's been bad, like, mm-hmm. just bad.
Yeah.
And, they some time ago were the ones to announce some sort of thing, and I was just like, oh wow, I guess they're moving up in the world.
Yeah,
like, this is
you, Forbes.
Yeah, I just, if it's not broken by the IGNs and GameSpots of the world of mm-hmm. the industry, then I'm always surprised. I'm just like, oh right, other people might be interested in
sure.
this.
Yeah,
because some, like, with the Switch, it's like, oh right, this is a console that is the most family friendly, arguably the most accessible console, so this has a much wider reach than even your other wildly popular
sure.
system.
And you're just talking about, like, accessibility in terms of, like, ability to, like, find it and get it for, like, cheap and, like, get into that ecosystem.
Yes, but also it's the same, like, the Wii U, mm-hmm. the Wii was, like, the family console,
right? Yeah.
Because everybody bought it, you know, every grandma bought it for Wii Sports.
Accessible in the terms of, like, Nintendo still has that very, like, it's for families kind of approach.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, you know, the 3DS was also wildly popular, which is a similar reason, because you can just, any kid can pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not the barrier to entry of, like, mature games and stuff. So anyway, that's a perk that Nintendo's always had, of course, with third-party stuff now. They've got Doom on the Switch
yeah.
and stuff. But that's a whole rabbit hole. The hard facts are there are going to be two consoles, and it seems like one of them is going to be a cheaper model, whatever that means. It's just going to be a model with a lower price tag. Honestly, if that just means that it's the same one we have now, but, you know, just at a lower...
That would be interesting if they did that.
I'd be surprised if that's exactly what they do, because why would they...
In my mind, whenever you say, like, there's two different SKUs of it, I'm picturing, like, the current model of Switch is in the middle, and then the two are on, like, lower or above that.
Yeah, so if they said there was one cheaper option, that obviously means that there's one that's more expensive. So if it's more expensive, what are you paying for, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe that is that extra battery. Maybe it is a higher res screen.
I love my Switch to death, but, like, that thing just dies, you know? Like, mm-hmm. the battery on that thing is, it's not bad, but it certainly isn't great. If I had to take something about the Switch...
I think it's perfectly average.
Right, and if I had to take something about the Switch that I would really like to see more of, like, I think the screen size and the resolution, fine. Like, I can totally deal with that, but, like, frame drops are an issue.
Yeah, like, I remember watching Breath of the Wild, right. And that was the first game that I saw hiccups in, and I was like, yeah. Oh.
The first one that, like, I really noticed on was actually Pokemon Let's Go, where mm-hmm. once you walk into Viridian Forest, it just stalls.
Oh, no.
Because it's just, like, so beautifully lit, and there's so much shit going on
mm-hmm.
that it just chugs through it, and it's just, it can't handle it.
Right.
I would like, there's some other, like, hardware stuff I'd like to see. I think the Bluetooth and, like, the wireless thing in that thing is an absolute joke. Like, the Wi-Fi card in the Switch is not good.
I've only used it to download games.
It is not good.
Ugh.
I don't really have too much of a problem because it's sitting right next to my router on the dock, but I'm probably going to just end up buying one of the Ethernet adapters.
Yeah, but even that is dumb that I didn't know until...
I feel like it should come with it, you know?
Well, you shouldn't need an adapter. Like, that seems
right.
ludicrous to me
right.
that you can't even plug an Ethernet into a console that came out.
Just put it in the dock, you know,
dude. Like,
the dock's $90,
right? And what, like, all the docks practically seems like a glorified HDMI.
Sure, it's got
cord.
Like three USB ports.
Yeah,
and that's
I mean
it.
The whole point is you plug the base in to like, you plug in the bottom of your mm-hmm. Switch into this stand, and then all it is from there is an HDMI cord to your TV and a power cord,
mm-hmm.
right? But as far as I know, it doesn't add any processing power or anything like that.
I think,
like,
it adds, I think the only, like, benefit it gets is just that it is connected to a power source, so it can just kind of use that
charge
to kind
and all
of,
that stuff.
Like, run stuff a little more, because if it's on
yeah.
if it's handheld, you're going to be worried about draining the battery.
Mm-hmm.
But also, while you're on like if your Joy-Cons are connected to your Switch, then they are charging off of that, which could contribute to battery issues too.
So that's nice, but why in the world would you not have a slot for an Ethernet cord?
Like, sure.
The fact that you have to buy an adapter, I have to go to the store and buy another dongle or another peripheral for your hardware, like, quit doing this. Don't be the Apple of consoles where I have to buy a new cord every time I...
So I didn't actually... I haven't had time to kind of take a look at many of those articles about that. I just kind of saw the headline and just kind of got on with my day. But, so did it say that the more expensive one was going to be more expensive than the current model?
No.
Or did it just say it would be more expensive of the two?
Yes.
Because I'm wondering if they do a... The cheaper model is one that's just focused on portability. It's only handheld mode.
I'd be surprised if it was only handheld.
Sure, sure.
But I understand what direction you're going.
Right, right. Or like if the like quote current like the current model or like the equivalent of that would just be like the current Switch, a little bit more powerful, a little bit better battery, and just some like nice quality of life improvements.
Mm-hmm.
But like just have it still be the same price, but it's still technically more expensive.
Yeah, because
I'd be interested to see if that's how that plays out.
I bet you're spot on with that. I bet a direction they could go is here's the one that sits in your dock all day because you live in a family house and you barely take it anywhere.
Sure.
And here's the one for, you know, a lot of people in the game industry who have kids, a lot of like podcasters I listen to. They have bought multiple Switches, one for the family and one that they can take. So like when they travel, they can take it on the plane, right?
Right.
But they're not taking the family console.
Sure.
So maybe that's exactly what that's
for. Yeah, and I'd be worried about them making it too expensive because I feel like a big kind of the appeal of the Switch is that it's convenient. Like it's cheap, you know, cheaper. It's not like the Switch overall, you know, is cheaper than like an Xbox One or cheaper than like a PS4. Certainly cheaper than a gaming PC.
Yeah, for sure.
I know a lot of people who got a Switch, not necessarily because it's the first party stuff, which are great, don't get me wrong, but I think it's because they were super into the fact that it was really cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And like it was just kind of this nice, easy thing of entry and this like personal thing they can carry with them. So I think if they lean into that, that would really be kind of a strong point for them.
Yeah. If that was the case, I'm not sure which one I'd buy because I'm going to end up getting... At some point, I'm going to end up getting another one so that my girlfriend and I can each have our own. Because it would be cool to play, like, I'm not going to get into the weeds on this, but it would be nice to be able to play some stuff together.
Sure.
Also, it would be nice to play our own things at the same time.
Sure, yeah.
I like the idea of if we own two Switches, we could take turns on the TV without having to do anything except lift the console out and swap it out.
Totally what my girlfriend and I do. It's great. Really cool. It's really great. So when do you think we're going to hear more about this? Like, I'm thinking it's going to be like an E3 thing.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a, hey, check it out. Mm-hmm. Look at all this cool stuff. By the way, it's dirt cheap now. Fucking buy it.
Yeah. I bet it is E3. Well, E3-ish, because if it's a Nintendo, they don't do E3.
They do E3.
They do the Nintendo stuff on the showroom floor.
They just do a direct at E3, but that's they also right. still... are part of the ESA.
I don't know why I get so mixed up in all this stuff.
It's because it's weird now.
It's really unusual. I've had to ask you like four times if EA has a press conference at E3, and the answer is no, but kinda.
Yeah, the answer is maybe. Well, they don't have a press conference now, but
yeah,
they also aren't at E3 anymore, so
right,
but they are
across the street. Yeah, it's a whole thing. Anyway, something else that's interesting about this is, you know, there was a rumor that was all but confirmed. Nintendo didn't really squash it, but they didn't confirm it, as far as I know. And here we are. We have it. Something happened a few weeks ago, I want to say like 3 weeks ago, with what we now see as the Stadia controller.
Mm-hmm.
There was a very similar, not quite the same, but very similar quote-unquote leak.
Oh, that thing looked bad.
That looked bad. It looked very uncomfortable. So it was a Google controller. And it just looked like a piece of plastic.
Right.
It didn't look very uncomfortable. It looked
very pointy.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
Yeah. It looked like I have a tendency to squeeze my controllers harder than I should, and it ends up hurting my middle. Right.
That
my
would
middle
just
and ring
straight
fingers.
Up like pierce through your hand.
I could feel the pain already just thinking about it.
Yeah, it's not great.
So that
thankfully
was interesting.
It's fake. But.
Fakefully. Fortunately, it is fake. But honestly, Google's actual controller is not that different. From that, it looks better for sure.
I think it looks way better.
Yes, but that leak, I bet somebody in the food chain realized that they were going to make their announcement soon, and that's why they made the leak. Like, I don't think it came out of thin air that someone leaked that controller at that time. So, that's
interesting.
Yeah, so we had the Nintendo one leaked recently. Well, the information, at least. And then we had the quote-unquote leak for the Google controller, which Google did say, no, put the kibosh on this. That's fake. Like, it's not real.
It's all a conspiracy.
Which I felt pretty foolish because someone who's like a game industry journalist who I respect shared that, and I just took it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, a lot of people I follow were just like, this is awful.
And then I shared it, and then it was all over, and finally, like a day or two later, somebody pointed out, they're like, yo, so this is not real. And here's
just like a mock-up of a patent that they filed.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh no, I got caught. I got fake newsed. Oh man, I just felt like a fool because I didn't check.
I've never been so happy to be wrong. Oh my god. Yeah. That would have been a hard sell if that was their controller. But I mean, I guess if you can use anything for a controller.
Yeah.
So I guess it's not a big deal.
But. So I thought that was remarkable. But yeah, so there's your Switch news. Controller's on the way. Probably an announcement near E3, but yeah, speculation.
I'm interested to see how that plays out.
We're almost at the end of March, which means we're almost in April, which means we are almost at the beginning of like proper summer season, which means all sorts of movies, all sorts of games and announcements and stuff.
What is E3 going to be this year, man? Like, I don't know.
EA's thing starts
Saturday now.
What time? Let's have a more deep dive into EA speculation later. There's just a lot going on there.
Sure.
So I tell you what, our other news story, let's hop into it because there was another big announcement. So like you said, it was today. It was the State of Play, the very first Nintendo Direct style live stream by Sony.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly it's not as polished as Nintendo.
So I actually, like, presentation-wise, because I watched this also during work. Sorry, boss. I watched it. It was, like, pretty short. It was pretty to the point. They did the Nintendo Direct thing where they literally showed off this one thing. You saw how many things were left in the presentation. And it just kind of cycled through them. And I'm like, okay, great, cool. And then it was just like, here's some info. Here's a trailer. Here's all the info we're giving out now. Moving on to the next thing. It was very like, it was essentially if you took a PlayStation press conference, just trimmed all of the fat from it. Like, it was very, very efficient in a way that you would expect a Nintendo Direct to be.
That's perfect because, to unfortunately revisit it, with E3, Sony has dipped out of E3 this year. And this coming year, they canceled their PlayStation Experience.
So yeah, they didn't have it last year at all.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
And they won't have it again because people complained and they agreed.
This year, but yeah, it is a...
I'm pretty sure they said they're not doing
it. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't do one.
Yeah, because I mean, I have to look it up, but I really want to say they already said, no, we don't plan on doing it because we don't have enough. We won't have enough stuff ready.
Okay.
Because people complained about that
in
the past.
I would absolutely believe that, sure.
Yeah, and they agreed with it. They were like, you're right. Like, maybe we shouldn't do this. Mm-hmm. And then they said they are not going to. So... if all we get are the, you know, the fat trimmed off of those presentations and said we just get these releases, hell yeah. Because I have always had issue with, like, the skits and scripts of those big conferences. Because, it can be pretty rough. But to get rid of that altogether and just do a short and sweet, here are all the pretty parts kind of presentation, like a Nintendo Direct, I'm on board. It is interesting. It's easy to talk about. It's not confusing. It's also, as far as I know, it's just out of nowhere. I didn't know this was going to be a thing.
They announced it like last week.
Okay.
And then they're just like, hey, by the way, Monday. I'm like, all right, cool. I'll watch it.
Yeah. So I guess this is the end of Q1, huh? Everybody's dropping their information.
God, yeah.
So anyway, let's talk about what they talked about, and I'll try to be quick here because I didn't actually watch the presentation. I've read stuff secondhand.
Sure.
So let's see. Let's go one by one here. I'm reading off PlayStation's actual blog. So the very first one is a Marvel Iron Man VR game.
Yeah, I did not expect it, and it looks fucking cool.
It looks pretty cool.
If I were to pick any sort of any Marvel like hero that people know about and have like brand recognition that would benefit, I think, from a really cool VR game, absolutely it would be Iron Man.
Yeah.
And they have a Sony Worldwide Studio working on it. So I'm really excited to see kind of what that turns into and where that goes. I don't remember if they showed off a release date for it or not, but I'm pretty excited about it.
That's perfect for shooting blasters out of your hands, totally, right? Because you're holding those controllers.
Like, I mean, if you look like mocap Iron Man holding like the Move controllers on the giant headset, mm-hmm. anyway. Like,
and it was cool how the trailer showed the UI that Tony Stark sees, yeah. inside of his helmet. That's
going to be a really cool thing.
Yeah. So
I would love to see them integrate like some sort of voice command stuff.
I didn't even think about that. Man, that would be
super rad. Cool.
Telling Friday to do stuff.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. Okay, I'm on board. Yeah. I really hope they nail the flying.
Sure.
Because between like motion sickness that used to be a really big problem in VR.
Oh, people are gonna throw up in this game probably, aren't they? Yeah, they're just gonna ruin so many headsets.
Yeah, I hope. I booted up Google Earth VR again for the first time since I've owned it now, and I still love that thing as much as I did before. It's just flying around is a little. I gotta get used to it again. And I hope I can speed up the rate that I do it, but that's not a big deal. That's just to say that when you Superman or Iron Man fly around, I hope they nailed it, because Google Earth VR is not a game, and so they weren't trying to nail that. But I wish it was better. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I really hope that is as good as...
I'm pretty excited for it.
Yeah, it gets me excited. So, sure. So we got that. That will, obviously, everything else at this conference, if it's on VR, it's going to be on PlayStation PSVR VR only.
Yeah.
So let's see, there is PS4 exclusive content for CTR, Crash Test Racing, Nitro Fuel.
Crash Team Racing.
Crash Team.
Sir.
What did I say? Test?
Test, yeah. I fucking love CTR a whole lot. I think it's the best kart racing game. Come at me.
You need to show me that game.
It's great. It still holds up incredibly well. I still have a copy over, like, on my entertainment system of the original CTR. I don't know if it runs, but
you know, if we start doing our own segments, you gotta pick up like arcade racers and show me some of this stuff, because like I'd love to play some Burnout, some CTR, because like, well, whatever, I could talk a lot about that,
anyway.
But I'm interested in more arcade racing games.
Same here. But they're doing characters are gonna have like their old PS1 style textures for like, it's a PS4 exclusive bit. Mm. Which is a little bit of a bummer, because that game's coming out on everything essentially. Mm-hmm. But I think there's going to be other content coming to the rest of them, which is kind of a neat thing. But I think that's just a cool, nice little touch, and I'm probably picking it up on PS4 anyway.
Cool.
So I'm cool with it. But
let's see, No Man's Sky is getting full PlayStation VR support.
Yeah, so that I think is something that is really a long time coming.
Yeah.
I think that game would have absolutely benefited from being able to just put yourself in those worlds that you're exploring and discovering. Really definitely make it a lot more personal. I think people probably would have stuck around with the original like vanilla version of that game a little bit longer if that was in there from the start.
Yeah. I gotta decide if I want to give that another shot. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, I already own the game on PlayStation, so if I can not spend a lot of money.
Beyond event a big Beyond update coming out with like online multiplayer, like big, like essentially like MMO No Man's Sky.
Well, I want to be excited about it. I hope I can be. Like, I want to be impressed. I think I saw the headline for that. I didn't even click it. Because, really, No Man's Sky just made me so angry with how poorly... I just felt cheated and died in a bunch of ways that I was like, wow, this is a video game-ass video game. And, like, for example, I tunneled into the ground to escape a storm and just teleported me onto the dangerous surface twice. And I died and lost all my stuff. And I'm like, boy, I really... Like, that was a rough glitch.
Did you play it, like, vanilla? Or?
No, that was... I played it for, like, 2 seconds during vanilla, and then, after Next.
Oh, really?
It was even a few months after Next came out.
Mm-hmm.
So this wasn't 6 months ago.
Wow.
And so I was really rubbed the wrong way by that. And then I went to a planet. This is more nitpicky, but I went to a gigantic planet, just maybe the biggest planet I found. And big planets are supposed to have high gravity, right? Well, whatever, it's a video game, it doesn't have to be realistic. But I went on this planet, and it had low gravity, which was funny, but okay.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
I'll take it, not a big deal. The issue was, you could fly very, very high, very, very easily, but the distance that you'd fall and die was the same. So, like, you would lift as if gravity was lower, but you would fall as if gravity was normal. And so, I flew up high one time, being like, oh, low gravity, I'm not going to die if I go up at this height. Immediately died. Lost all my stuff. And I was like, boy, that's not how this should have worked. Like, I really wish someone had thought about that, because they thought about it halfway And then, you know, so I was like, ugh, it just felt so half-baked. And so the good experiences I had in that game, they were cool. But the bad experiences I had were very bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just unfortunate that I just feel so salty about it. So if I don't run into those issues again next time, I would love to be immersed in that because I love how colorful the game is. I like popping on my Spotify playlist of like space music. I want to like that game.
Yeah.
I really hope this makes me like it.
Yeah, I think it's super promising. I was like genuinely surprised. I know there was a lot of people speculating that No Man's Sky was going to launch on PSVR and be like the thing to get people to play it. Mm-hmm. And it just never happened. And I honestly, like they announced that, I'm like, it's not there already.
Like, well, you know what? Let's skip a few of these and talk about something I've wanted to say, which is there was a little more. Where is it here? I don't see it on here. Oh, Days Gone. Okay, so Days Gone. It's basically The Last of Us little brother.
I would say it's definitely different.
It is. I'm definitely giving it a bad rap, but it is a you know, the same way that a lot of Dynasty Warrior type games are modeled after Dynasty Warriors. Mm-hmm. Well, this game seems modeled like at its core off of The Last of Us. It's like it takes a lot of the things that we liked from that, the dark, drab browns and greens and
like
grays
setting and like narrative.
Yeah. So it's not the same, but it's, you know,
sure.
It's a zombie.
It's definitely
thing.
I wouldn't say inspired by, but it definitely pulls from kind of the same playbook
like adjacent
that it pulled
to.
From. Sure.
Yeah, yeah. It's like so much sci-fi and fantasy.
Whenever they announced it, I was like, "You're really pushing two zombie games right now."
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's really interesting because like they have been radio silent since E3 on The Last of Us. But I mean, also Days Gone was coming out next month.
So my issue is No Man's Sky. I will keep railing on this until we stop seeing it. But No Man's Sky was announced ages before the game came out. And honestly, a few years ago, even like a couple years ago, this stuff didn't bother me as much as it does now. But do not show me your game unless you are pretty well into the development process. Like, do not advertise. I don't want to see a teaser. I don't even want to know about it until you are close-ish to releasing a game. Like,
or at least something like that looks to be like you are a significant portion of the way in.
Right. Like, give me a trailer as far out as you could possibly give a movie a trailer. Like, you don't put out a trailer for a movie if you don't have parts for a movie.
Sure, because you've already filmed that.
Right. And so, like, even with a Marvel movie when it's way out, like, not even talking about, like, here at the end of all things with Infinity War and all this stuff. But before that, like, yeah, you'd know there's going to be another Captain America movie.
Right.
And eventually, you know, a trailer would come out, but the trailer wouldn't come out so far in advance
that it's just like a title.
Right.
And then just like a tiny bit that has been filmed or something like that.
Or yeah, like one action sequence. Sure. You know? So anyway, Days Gone has done the same thing. I really hope the game does well. Well, full stop. I really hope the game does well.
Sure.
I hope it's a great game.
All the previews for it seem to be very positive. I'm still like pretty interested in it. I'll probably pick it up and give some kind of thoughts on that one.
I definitely
out.
Like to watch some stuff on that because I like what it has going on.
Yeah, the open world stuff seems super fascinating and like just how like you interact with the environment and how it pushes back, I think, is super cool.
Mm-hmm. And like the whole subgenre of like biker stuff.
Yeah.
That's not something I'm burnt out on because I've never really dug into it.
That's not something I think is really explored too much in the gaming space.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's like only used as kind of like a style crutch.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, they're from the country or something.
Or like, oh, this person's fucking cool because they're on a bike.
Yeah, they've got big sunglasses.
Like, I played a lot of Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
You beat people up with a motorcycle. That's cool as fuck. But like in this, like it's very
wait,
grounded.
Wait, do you beat them up with the motorcycle or on the motorcycle? Or both?
Both.
Okay.
It's amazing.
So like, walk me through this. How do you use
total your... total side note. So like you get this motorcycle made of fucking demon parts.
Alright.
It's cool as hell. Alright. And then
Do you think Days Gone has zombie motorcycles? So it's just
I doubt
it. Yeah, I doubt
it. But no, like you like grab the handlebars, which are demon horns, and then you like separate out the fucking motorcycle into two hammers that still have the wheels going, so you're like just like hitting. It's so fucking cool. Oh my god. Anyway,
they know their audience.
Oh, without a doubt. Without
that's
a doubt
funny.
Which by the way, I don't think we're gonna have time to get into it, but I'm gonna have a review posted here probably shortly of Devil May Cry 5 because I want to get a review out and share my thoughts on that. So I'm gonna have something hosted on both the GGKC site and the Heroes Podcast Network site, as well as an audio review for anybody listening to this current Gamer Heroes feed. So look forward to that some point next week. I don't know when it's coming out. I'm still working on it.
Yeah, we got a lot going on, including Planet Comic Con this weekend.
Sure, sure. But anyway.
Cool. So Days Gone, I hope it does really well. I just, the release cycle of trailer versus game.
Right.
Really starting to bother me.
Understand that.
And so I hope the game's great, but I want to see more of a movie, mm-hmm. a cinema style schedule of sure. releases. I just, you know, I know I've talked about how much I like Apex, that they just announced it and dropped it. It just wears on me. I find it fatiguing to hear about a game for so long. Like, I feel like I don't care about Days Gone because I've been hearing about it for so long.
Sure, they've been talking about it for a while.
Right, but I don't think I actually dislike it. I think I'm just tired of the marketing strategy.
Understandable. Yeah, so, I think that's a perfectly valid response to that, for sure.
Yeah, so I kind of just want that to go away. Yeah. But I'm excited for the game to come out so we can see it and play it.
I guess in the interest of time, because we're starting to run a little long here, pretty much the rest of that like show was a lot of PSVR stuff.
Which was really there's cool. a Mortal Kombat trailer.
Yeah, yeah.
With,
and they closed on their like quote one more thing was Mortal Kombat, and they revealed some characters. I'm not a Mortal Kombat fan, but that trailer was cool as hell.
I haven't watched it. That's what I heard.
It's pretty cool. They're leaning into how ridiculous the whole thing, because they're just like bringing in time travel, and it's like this person is this person but older, and this person but younger, and now they're gonna fucking fight. Yeah, it's just like really neat dumb stuff like that. They're leaning into how like Mortal Kombat's kind of never taken itself seriously, mm-hmm. but they're like really leaning into the fact that time travel also fucking stupid, but we're doing it. But I thought it was kind of a weird thing to end it on. Like, you usually think of, like, oh, your one more thing is usually this big, grand, like, surprise reveal. Like, Nintendo always does. Like, their mm-hmm. openers and closers are always just fucking fire, you know?
Yeah.
But I overall thought it was a pretty good show. I know the reaction's been kind of mixed online from what I've seen. There's a lot of people saying they loved it. There's been a lot of people saying they thought it was just really kind of a waste of time. Mm-hmm. I thought everything in it looked good. I thought it set the stage for them to do this all, like, repeat, like, over and over again on a regular schedule. Like, I thought
I'm with it. I'm yeah, totally on
I think it's great. I think it was an absolute great first start. They called it episode one, so I don't know how regular these are going to be,
but I bet there'll be an episode two.
I mean, probably.
I hope so.
But like, it was very well polished. I thought it looked really nice. I'm pretty excited to see where that goes. I don't want to get into speculation too much because we are running pretty long.
There's a lot to happen.
There's a lot there, and I think that Sony, I think it, in my mind, it sits between, if you take like the sliding scale of like video presentations that like quote the big three do, I think it's sitting pretty comfortably in between inside Xbox, which I think is a great idea, but doesn't show off as much of the games and a lot of the stuff that people want to see as much as it should. And like you have on the other end, like your Nintendo Directs, which are just kind of like the shining example of what it should be. Mm-hmm. And I think it fits pretty nicely in the middle. I think going forward, I hope they would like kind of listen to any sort of like feedback they have on it and figure out what's going on. I think it'll be really cool to have them drop one and just people get used to it, and then suddenly, boom, there's a fucking Last of Us trailer in it or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you can really kind of surprise people by that, by just keeping it as kind of reserved as possible.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, you said that it was announced that this was going to happen about a week ago. Well, it wasn't even on my radar.
Sure.
So I really enjoyed, you know, in addition to all these other announcements, it was like, oh, cool.
Sure.
A new thing, right. Like new announcements out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And same deal. Like, so for me, even though it was a week out and I missed it, just the idea of like, surprise, I'm all about it. Like, I give me more of that. Like,
right.
Give me more surprises. I don't want a slow burn. Just give it to me hot. You know, what an explosive. So, cool. I bet we won't see as many announcements between now and next week.
I hope not. I'm so tired.
Yeah.
But, I mean, PAX is next week.
PAX is next week.
And,
our
like,
Comic-Con
Gearbox
is this week.
Gearbox has also said that they're doing something there. So, we'll fucking find out.
Oh, no. PAX is this weekend.
PAX is this weekend,
so,
too. Yeah, it's the same weekend.
That's right. Because that was the whole thing.
Yeah.
Cool.
So
we'll see. So we're gonna be honestly, we might be fried after this
we'll
weekend.
See what happens.
Yeah,
I'd like to see if we can record an episode on that Monday, but we're gonna see.
Yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah. So That's going to do it for the show this week. Thanks for stopping by, everyone.
Thanks for sticking around. We did go long, but
yeah, we certainly did. If you like what you heard, consider kicking us a buck or 12 at patreon.com/heroespodcasts to help out the show and network and to grow to just do even cooler stuff. If you can't contribute financially, that's fine. Just share the show with a friend or rate or review us on your podcast platform of choice. If you got any questions for us or want to tell us how much you just love our voices, hit us up on Twitter at GamerHeroesPod, and your submissions just might make the show next week. If we do one, I think we're going to do one probably.
Yeah, we'll probably make it happen.
You can find my tweets at TheCamdyMan on Twitter, or you can keep up with what us GGKC folk are up to at GG_Kansas_City or GG-KC.com. Or just come hang out in our Facebook group. Just search for Looking for Geeks GGKC.
Yeah, boy, catch me in there.
Yep. For Thomas and myself, you're doing great. We're so proud of you. And we'll see you next time.